In gardening, we often think that without a lot of time spent in the hot sun weeding and whatnot, we won't get much out of our garden. But happily, some smart folks have come up with great techniques that can help keep the fun in garden without a lot of back-breaking work. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Joel Karsten is one of those smart folks. He's an author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer in Minnesota, and he's developed a unique gardening method that he details in his book. It's called Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. How about that? Joel with us by phone today. Joel, thank you for taking time to be with us. They really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's really great of you to have me on. It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I've really enjoyed going through your book. The great photos, descriptive, good writing, and it really makes it sound pretty easy.
Well, it is pretty easy, so I guess I did a pretty good job.
What is a straw bale? And I'm sure some people, I think pretty much anybody here in Wisconsin is going to know what a straw bale is, but who may not.
Yeah, I tell people, the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, the harder it is for people to distinguish straw from hay. So sometimes that's what we have to start out with, is that what we're dealing with really is the straw bale. So the oats and wheat typically are where most of our straw is going to come from. Now, of course, they harvest the seeds off of the wheat and the oats, and that becomes bread, flour, and oatmeal, and Wheaties, and everything else. And then what they leave behind the straw, most farmers over the years, historically, they bale it up and they use it for animal bedding.
Yep.
Is typically the normal agricultural use for that straw.
And I grew up on a farm, so I remember baling straw and baling hay.
Yeah.
Always hard on the knees and legs.
Yeah. Especially baling hay because it's so much heavier, right? Now, hay, of course, is your fodder for animals. It's the food that animals eat. So when you bale up grass, lots of times farmers will call that grass hay.
Yeah.
And that, of course, the seeds from the grass all get baled right into that bale. So if you were to use a bale of grass hay for this process and you watered and fertilized a bale of grass hay, you can imagine what would happen, right?
Yeah.
You'd get a chia pet out in your garden, so it would sprout everywhere. And alfalfa just it's typically a lot more expensive than straw is. It has a little bit more nitrogen in it as it would decompose, but hay tends not to, especially alfalfa, tends not to hold moisture very well like straw does.
Yeah, straw's great for that.
Yeah, straw's really good at that. That's
you actually call it nature's perfect planting container.
It truly is. When people think about straw bale gardening, or when they first look at it, sometimes there's a misnomer. You know, people think, well, I'm going to use the straw bales and I'm going to break them open and use it as like mulch in my garden or something. That's truly not what we're doing. What we're doing here is we're leaving the bale intact with the strings on. That's really important because we need that compression that the strings create. And we're going to use that bale as both the container for this container garden and the media inside the container is really the outside crust of the bale becomes the container along with the strings. And in the inside of that bale, we get it to condition and sort of early process of decomposition. And it really converts from being what we would look at and see as straw. By the end of the season, you'd look at it and you'd swear it's soil. You know, it really breaks down. But we're never going to add any soil. That's one of the key important things to this process because, you know, if I went out in your garden right now, Larry, I'm sure you do a really good job with weeding your garden every year, right?
So if I took a
shovel of soil out of that garden and I put it under a microscope, I bet I could still find some weed seeds in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really very difficult if you ever continue to garden in the soil to ever create a garden where there aren't any weed seeds in that top layer of topsoil. So no matter how good of a gardener you are, you're always going to fight weeds in a vegetable garden. What we're going to create inside of this bale of straw is brand new virgin soil as the straw begins to decompose, begins that process. So there are no weed seeds in there. There might be a couple of leftover seeds from the straw, from the oat or the wheat harvest. You know, you get a few stragglers that are left in there. But usually just a couple. And then if the farmer happened to bale a thistle or a cockabur or something up into that bale of straw, you might get a sprout here or there. But you have to remember that it's rooted into this mushy, decomposing bale of straw. So the weeding
right
process
out.
Is real easy. I tell people, and I've been proven right over and over, if you give yourself 30 seconds per bale per summer to do your weeding, that'll take care of all your weeding for your vegetable garden.
Joel Karsten, our guest today, author of the book Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere earlier and with no weeding. Great to have him along. Certainly, you may have some questions for him. Sounds almost too good to be true. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. You can go there. And maybe you've already done a little straw bale gardening and you've got some photos of that. You want to share those photos. I hope you'll do that at my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. I'd certainly love to hear from you. And I want to go back to sort of the beginnings on this, Joel, because as I was reading your book, I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting how he came up with this idea. And I think it'd be fun to have you share that with our listeners.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you grow up on a crop and dairy farm like I did down in southwestern Minnesota, you spend some time in the summers on a baling rack.
Yeah.
And the first time Dad lets you stack your own rack of straw bales, you get almost back to the barn and a couple of them tip off the top of the rack, sure enough. And you get a broken string, so we'd take that bale, Dad would, and he'd throw it up against the barn and he'd say, well, we'll come back and get that bale later. By the time harvest was done, you'd have four or five bales laying up against the barn, and then it would rain that night, and you wouldn't get those straw bales put away. So they would start to, you know, get wet. At the point where a straw bale's wet, really a farmer has no use for it. Because
yep.
I always tell people you'd never diaper a baby with a wet diaper. You wouldn't use a wet bale of straw on your livestock. So we'd just let it lay there next to the barn. And pretty soon it would start to decompose a little bit, and you'd get a couple of thistle seeds or something that would float through the air and land on top of that bale, and you get the big, tall, green thistles that would grow out of those decomposing bales. And so I'd ask my dad, what's going on with those bales? And he'd say, well, you know, there's probably moisture in there, and it holds in the moisture nicely, and it's decomposing, so it's got some nutrition, and it's just, you know, it's a nice environment for these plants to grow out of. And so I kind of locked that away in my head. And then we fast forward, I go to the University of Minnesota and study horticulture at the University of Minnesota, and now I buy my first house, and I go to the backyard, and I go to dig a hole, and it turns out that the house I bought was built on all kinds of construction fill, like gravel.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very conducive for growing vegetables, like our 2-3 feet of topsoil we had back on the farm. But then I thought to myself, well, why couldn't I use some of those bales of straw, like I used to see decomposing next to the barn with all the green vegetation? So I decided to try it. So essentially the process started out with just a bunch of experiments and, you know, seeing if I could make this work. I tried to find some data, some information, any books or papers or anything that had been written on this process, or any call some of my old professors at the U to see if any of them knew anything about this, and got pretty discouraged because I really couldn't find a whole lot of information out there about anybody that had ever done this process. So I just started doing it myself, and it worked really well. We discovered by the end of the first summer that we really had stumbled across a method of gardening here that really worked well, and sort of have refined it now over the years and really have a system down now where I can take even a person who's never grown any kind of garden or never grown anything and make them very successful their first year if they just follow the step-by-step that we lay out for them.
Yeah, it's amazing. Joel Karsten, our guest, author of Straw Bale Gardens. 1-800-642-1234, the number for you to call to join in. Dan and Sullivan has a question for you, Joel, so let's go there. Dan, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. Does it matter how tight that straw bale is? Because I've run across some straw bales that are really loose and some that are tied up real tight.
Well, I'll tell you what, the tighter the better is what I always tell people. You want to get the most you can for your money, you know, and that's the thing. When people go to buy bales of straw, they call the place and they say, do you have straw bales? And they'll say, yeah, we have straw bales. But they don't ask the next two important questions. One is, how much are they and how big are they? Because, you know, you can spend $4 on a bale of straw and get a tiny little bale that is hardly compacted at all. Or you can buy one direct from a farmer who's got, you know, 4-foot-long bales and they're super compact. You have a lot of compression on them, so they're real tightly baled, and you get a lot more media in that big bale for $4 or $5 than you do in a little tiny one. So absolutely, it makes a big difference. The tighter, the better.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Steve in Appleton. Steve, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for answering my call. I did some hay bale gardening in the past, a few years ago, and I was very successful in keeping the weeds down and producing good vegetables. But I did have a problem with slugs, and I'm wondering how you would address that problem.
Hi, Steve. There seems to me like slugs are quite cyclical. So, you know, some years, like every fifth year or so, I'll have quite a few slugs, and then not many at all for the next few years. We can use the old beer can trick. That seems to work pretty well. Sometimes what I like to do is take orange or grapefruit halves and just put them upside down like little domes right on top of the bale. And the following morning, you'll have 30 or 40 slugs right underneath that little dome, and you can gather them up and get rid of them that way. So there's some real natural methods that you can use on slugs. There's, you know, different chemicals that you can buy, Slug-O, slug bait, all that kind of stuff. But to me, just if you're in the garden in the mornings, especially early in the mornings, just putting even a board down just in the walkway in your garden, you'll see they'll accumulate lots of slugs underneath that board, and it allows you to easily pick it up and grab those slugs and just dispose of them.
Yeah.
And usually not have much of a problem with them. You know, if they do cause you a lot of problems, it's probably going to happen in your straw bales or in a regular garden if the slugs just happen to be really bad that particular year. So I don't think that I've experienced more slugs just because of the straw bales than I have in my regular garden. You know, I have problems in my regular garden just as much as my straw bale garden. So.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call very much. Joel Karsten, our guest author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer from Minnesota, has developed a unique gardening method that he details in his book, Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere earlier and with no weeding. You can join in with your questions or comments. Have you used that method? And how does it work for you? You wonder how to get started if you haven't used it? Number again, 1-800-642-1234. You can also post a question on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And we've got some great photos, garden photos. We'd love to see those as well. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking straw bale gardens on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, author Joel Karsten, who developed this breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere earlier and with no weeding, which is a really good thing. You know, there's a question from Judith. I think it's a great question. In this, you know, part, as in Minnesota, as in Wisconsin, we have a lot of black walnut trees. And if you happen to have a black walnut tree on your yard or your neighbor's, it gets to be a problem growing tomatoes, for example, and other Solanaceae plants. Would straw bale gardening be a solution to dealing with the toxic impact of the neighbor's black walnut trees?
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. It's a great use for straw bale gardening. You can go right above even any tree that has lots of roots. Sometimes people will say, I got these big maple trees, and to dig a garden, I would have to go through all the roots of these trees, so yeah. I can just cover the soil with straw bales and garden that way. It's definitely a solution. It's also a great solution for anybody who has a cottage or a cabin around a lake where they make you build those mound sewer systems.
Oh, yes.
Mound drainage systems. Well, they tell you, you know, you can't obviously plant trees or anything on top of those mounds because the roots would go down and cause problems. But it's a perfect place for us to put a straw bale garden because the weight, you know, there isn't much weight there on straw bales. And
right.
You get a nice sunny open area because there shouldn't be any trees planted.
That's right.
So it's really a good use of that space as well. But for that matter, I mean, you can take straw bales and you can put a straw bale garden in your parking lot
yeah.
if you were so inclined. there's some pictures in the book you'll see of people, Penn State University's Cooperative Extension Office out in Pennsylvania grew a straw bale garden right outside their back door of their office building in their parking lot all last summer.
That's
so
great.
On a rooftop, you know, if you've got a building with a rooftop, it's a great way to grow, you know, in an area where you have to transport all your media because straw bales are easily transported and fairly light for the volume that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So literally you can grow a straw bale garden pretty much anywhere.
Travis in Shorewood has a comment. Hi, Travis. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you. I live up in Sherwood on the north shore of Lake Winnebago, and the neighborhood I live in when we moved in 2 years ago, it's all clay. You get an inch of rain and there's an inch of water in your yard for, you know, 6-10 hours.
Yeah.
So planting in that was not going to happen. I went and built 2 20-foot by 6-foot raised bed gardens. They're about 2 feet tall with 2x10 spruce boards, and then I filled the first third of it with basically the lawn that I had to dig up to make it happen, and then the middle third I went with straw. I thought it would work good for drainage and nutrients and all that good stuff, and it turned out that the additional compost for the last third that I did add to it was leaves from the city, and while leaves from the city that get composted have seeds from the trees and seeds from everything else. So my weeding last year was really hard, to say the least. But the plants grew amazing. I had tomato bushes that were 5 feet tall. I've got pictures of my wife standing next to them, and they're just like small trees.
Yeah.
So I can speak for the guests that planting inside straw is a very, very successful venture.
Oh, thank you, Travis. Comment, Joel?
Well, it is true. Drainage is really important. You know, if you have a clay soil, or if you have too much drainage, that can be an issue as well. If you have too sandy of soil, using straw bales over top of that type of environment is wonderful, because if your soil is too sandy, well, the straw bales have lots of ability to absorb and hold moisture, so you don't have to worry about that. If your soil is too clay and would tend to hold too much moisture or cause problems with drainage, we don't have to worry, because your plant's in top of a straw bale. It doesn't really matter how much water you ever put on that straw bale. Any extra water, what we call gravitational water, is just going to run right through that bale and out the bottom. So the bale will only get so wet and only hold so much moisture, and then beyond that, it just runs out the bottom. So it does help to sort of buffer that moisture issue. And definitely has lots of nutrition. I mean, you know, what is soil? What is really good soil? Well, really good soil or really good compost is simply decomposed organic material. And what do we have here? Well, we have lots of organic material that we're just going to put through a very rapid decomposition process early in the season. And that provides lots of benefits. You know, not only that weed-free environment that I talked about earlier, but also it tends to heat up early in the season. People underestimate how hot that bale gets inside there as it's decomposing. Early, real early in the process, it gets way too hot that you couldn't plant into it. So you have to let it go for about a couple weeks before the bales really cool off and are cool enough that you can put your plants in there. But then for about the first 4 or 5 weeks of our growing season, those bales are going to be much warmer than your surrounding soil temperature. Here in Minnesota, if I took a soil probe on May 15th and stuck it in the soil, I'd get a reading of about 52, 55 degrees, right in that range. If I stuck it in my straw bale, I'd get a reading of about 85 or 90 degrees inside that bale. So it makes a really big difference, especially early in the season when we put those transplants into the bale, that they're sitting on top of this little heater down below.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bill in Arcadia, hello to you. Thanks for calling. Bill, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Bill. All right, well, let's go. Let's try Becky and Ryo then. Becky, hello.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I missed the first few minutes of the program, so I apologize if you've already addressed this, but do you set the bale down on the ground with the string side up or with the cut edge up?
Good question.
Becky, I like to put the cut side of the bale up and keep the strings on the side.
Okay.
When you go to plant, you're going to take your little hand trowel and you're going to shove down into that bale surface. And when you do shove down in there, I don't want you to cut a string, because if you cut one of those strings, you lose the compression on your bale. And really, that compression is part of what we're counting on to help this this theoretically, it's a little compost pile inside there to help that decompose more quickly. Mm-hmm. If you break the strings, it gets loose, and then straw doesn't decompose nearly as quickly once it's loose.
Right. Okay, then the other thing is, do you have to precondition this bale? I assume you're not sticking a transplant in a dry straw bale.
That is very true, Becky. That's very astute. You do need to condition the bale beforehand. We show you how to do that. There's a process you take it through where you can add either organic sources of nitrogen, like blood meal or feather meal, or you can add lawn fertilizer, and we'll decompose that bale very quickly. Over a period of 12 days, every other day, you're putting on a little bit of fertilizer and wetting it down, and it starts that bale cooking, starts taking it through that process. And then we keep temperature, you know, take a temperature probe and stick inside there. I always tell people if you don't have an old meat thermometer laying around, then use your hand as your meat thermometer. Just stick down in that bale and feel the temperature with your hand. Most of us, if we're not feeling sick, we should be about 98.6 degrees. If it feels hot on our hand, it's too hot to plant. If it feels like our body temperature or slightly cooler, then it's okay to go ahead and put your transplants into that bale at that point. But you need to give it a period of time. You'll see those bales will get really hot. A couple days after you start this conditioning, don't be surprised if they get up to 135, 140 degrees inside of that bale.
Okay. I've got a long probe thermometer that I use in my compost bin, so
that's perfect.
This will be another use for that.
Yep.
So if I want to start a strawberry bed, do you think strawberry plants, have you tried that?
Oh, yeah.
With this method?
Strawberries do really well in decomposing straw bales. I actually plant my strawberries as annuals right in my straw bale because they don't winter over as well in a straw bale. So, you know, because they're above ground, they're going to freeze and thaw very often.
Okay.
And strawberries can take the cold temperature. What they really can't take is that fluctuation of freezing and thawing.
Correct, yeah.
So they probably won't last. What I do is I put them in the straw bale, and I do them every spring. You know, I just buy a 6-pack of them or a 12-pack of them and pop them in the bales, and within 2 weeks, they cover the whole bale. So I treat them as an annual. If you want to do them in a straw bale and then establish a strawberry patch, plant them in the bales and then put the bale in a location in your garden where you just want to permanently keep them. And in 3 years or so, that bale will completely smush down. You'll have a little lump in that part of your garden where you planted those originally, and just mulch over them really good in the fall, you know, so you cover them up on top of that straw bale so that they don't get that extreme fluctuation of temperature. And you should get them to survive fine and just literally establish a permanent strawberry patch.
Yeah, that's actually very similar to how I've been doing my strawberry bed. I line up two rows of straw bales with a space in between, and then I fill that space with compost. But when the whole thing gets covered with strawberries, it's really hard to reach the center. So I think just planting in the single row of strawberries as an annual plant is actually a better alternative.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It makes picking them real easy, Becky.
How long before I want to plant new plants do I need to start preparing the bales?
2 weeks. 2 weeks prior.
2 weeks? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, great. Thanks for a good idea.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And we've had folks calling in and say, what was the title of that book again? The title of the book is Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. And the author, our guest today, Joel Karsten. And if you go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, we have some photos up from the book. Obviously, a link to get to the book or to order the book, but some nice photos that show some of the techniques that Joel exhibits in his book as to how to really make this garden work. We have Julie and Wild Rose next. Hi, Julie. Thank you for calling.
Hi, you're welcome. When he said no weeding, you got me interested right away.
Yeah.
But we plant tomatoes every year, and every year we move them around in the garden so they're not in the same spot. And every year we get septoria leaf spot. And I'm just wondering, with the straw bales, would you avoid that problem?
Or is there less disease?
Oh, Julie, I'm so glad you asked that question.
Me too.
Yes, you do avoid that problem. And here's the thing. Most of those diseases that harbor in the soil, they're actually harboring on tiny little leaves that get mulched into the soil. So, you know, that's why they tell you move your plants around. And this isn't just for tomatoes. This is, I mean, you're talking about cabbage and other plants as well. People will tell you, you don't want to grow the same crop in the same soil year after year because you get an accumulation of those disease or insect problems in that soil. Well, you got to remember, we're not using that soil. We're using completely brand new virgin soil that we're creating inside of that bale. So none of those diseases that were in your soil or your plants last year are going to persist or exist inside of this brand new virgin soil. So it literally eliminates having to do any crop rotation at all. You don't have to worry about planting in exactly the same place because you're above ground in this straw bale. So it eliminates that problem completely, absolutely.
And then you don't need to mulch either, correct?
Yeah, because you don't have to worry about the weed issues. So.
Right. And then what do you do with the bales at the end of the season? Do you have to get rid of them in order to not have any diseases harbor, or you just let them decompose?
Well, here's what I do. I put them in my compost pile, kind of, you know, put them in the wheelbarrow and drag them over to the compost pile, and I let them finish. I actually have a separate compost pile for just my straw bales. Mm-hmm. And by the following spring, you will have a pile of the most beautiful, perfectly textured compost you've ever seen that works really well for, I use it for all my pots, my containers. Mm-hmm. I do about 30 big pots that I do in the front yard and in the back patio that are filled with annual flowers. I fill all of those with my straw compost. I use them in my window boxes. I use them in my annual beds to dig into the soil to help enrich the soil and replenish the soil. I do have a few spots of regular garden where I do, like, my perennial vegetables, things like rhubarb and asparagus that need to be established with a root for a long period of time. I don't do those in straw bales because then you'd have to, transplant them every year, and they don't like that. So I still have some existing vegetable garden as well, so I'll use it to enhance that. And then, I mean, the stuff is like gardener's gold. It really creates this beautifully textured, very fertile, has lots of good drainage, but yet good moisture holding capacity. It really is just like you went to the garden center and you bought a bag of planting mix. That's essentially what you have in this compost the following year.
Well, it sounds like the best of all worlds.
I tell people this story, and I teach seminars all over about this method of gardening. And for a few years, I've come over to Amory, Wisconsin, small town over there in Wisconsin, and I've had two ladies who've come back year after year to my seminar, and they pay the tuition, they come to the class, just so that they can come to the class and bring their photo albums with them and brag about how lovely their gardens are, their struggle gardens. They just, they sell the whole concept for me, and it's wonderful in a world today where we do have things like Facebook and, the Twitter and all that stuff, because if you're trying to sell somebody a bill of goods, boy, you're shown to be full of it right away online, because people can write whatever they want. And once people experience it, I've never had somebody come back to me and say, last year I did 5 bales and this year I'm not going to do it again. They always say, last year I did 5 bales, this year I'm doing 25 bales because it worked so well and it was so easy. They always tend to increment up in how many bales they're doing. So it really is. It's nice to come up with something that once people try it, they just fall in love with it as much as I do. So
thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Yeah,
thank you, Julie.
Thanks a lot for calling. Jessica wondered, we had an email from Jess, how does this method work for root vegetables like carrots and beets?
Oh, wow, I'm so glad she called or emailed. It's a wonderful way to grow root crops, especially something like potatoes. I get this question a lot. Can I grow potatoes? You'll never grow potatoes any other way, Larry, than using straw bales once you try this. It's so simple. You take 3 potato cuttings, and I tell people to set one on the left side, one on the right side, and one in the middle of that bale, and then use it like a 2x2 to shove that potato cutting down through the top of the bale so it gets almost to the bottom of the bale, about 1 or 2 inches off of the soil below. But don't plant it from the bottom. You got to plant it from the top. And that potato will send a stem all the way to the surface of that bale. Now, it couldn't do that if it were in the soil planted 18 inches deep. It never would make it to the surface. But through this straw bale and that little tunnel you made, it easily sends a stem right up through that bale. In the meantime, you've planted another crop on the surface of this bale, maybe lettuce or radish or something. And as that stem reaches the top, that long stem creates all kinds of room for these tubers to grow.
Oh.
Remember, the potato's not a root, it's a tuber, so it grows off of that long stem. And now you come to the end of the season when that those vines have withered a little bit. You come along and you cut the strings with your knife and you kick that bale over and you gather up a bushel of the most beautiful potatoes you've ever seen. Simple as that. You don't have to dig them up with a fork. You don't have to use a shovel. And they come out nice and clean, so they're not all caked, you know, caked on with mud or clay.
Yeah.
Therefore, you really don't even need to wash them. As soon as you start washing and rubbing those skins, you take that protective layer off, which keeps them from storing as well.
Yeah.
So just wrap them in brown paper, and you put them in a little apple crate and put them in storage somewhere cool and dark. And yesterday for lunch, I had a potato out of our potatoes, and it was just as good as the day we put it in there.
Oh.
I mean, they store really well. No fork marks or shovel marks on them, so that's always where the rotting starts, you know, is right where you nick that potato with a fork. And you don't have to worry about that using this method because there's no – the harvest process is as simple, literally, as breaking the – kicking the bale open with your foot and picking the potatoes up.
Are there any – she was wondering if there are any vegetables that don't do well with this method.
Well, the perennial vegetables,
yeah.
As I said, you know, the rhubarb and artichoke and asparagus and things like that, that are going to come back year after year are not conducive to this. Also, I would not recommend things like sweet corn. You know, you might get three stalks of corn out of a bale. It's just fiscally, it's not very economical to grow corn this way. It would grow, but, you know, it's just not very smart. I do lots of herbs in my straw bales as well, but there's one herb, the rosemary, that doesn't seem to do very well. It likes a little more acidic soil, I think, than what we have. We have a real neutral pH inside of this straw bale. It's about runs about 7.71, 7.2, depending on the alkalinity of your water that you've been watering the bale with and depending on what you used to do the conditioning process, what nitrogen source. You know, if you use normal lawn fertilizer, normal blood meal, feather meal like we recommend, you're going to end up with about 7, 7.2, which is a great pH for almost all, generally, for most vegetables that really like it. You're not going to be successful growing blueberries. They like it real acidic. You know, there are some crops I tell people, if you haven't ever seen anybody grow it in your neighborhood, then it probably doesn't grow here. You know, it's not a plant that does well, with a couple of exceptions. I bet very few people in your audience have ever grown peanuts in their garden before.
No, I would bet that too.
But you'll see you can be successful growing peanuts in a straw bale garden because you get a little longer season with that ability to plant earlier because those bales are heating inside of the bale, that decomposition, that bacteria that we talked about earlier, how that heats the bale up. It lets you plant a little bit earlier in the season and extends your season a little bit. Also, things like sweet potatoes. You'll be real successful with sweet potatoes, where normally our season's a little bit too short for sweet potatoes as far north. People up in Alaska, in the Arctic Circle, they love this method for gardening. They're some of the biggest fans we have of this method is the place where the you would think, you know, their soil stays frozen until the middle of June. Maybe they'd have a short season. They actually have a long season because, remember, it's 24 hours a day sunlight when you get that far north. But the problem is they don't have any soil thawed out early enough to start growing. Well, with this method, they can get planted, you know, to even 3 weeks or a month earlier than they normally would.
Amazing. Arlene in New Berlin, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of questions to ask. Is this good for perennial flower gardens? And where would you get the bales of straw if you don't get them at a garden, you know, garden store? And do you need to weed your garden before you put the bale on? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you for calling, Arlene. Regarding the perennials, you certainly can grow flowers in the straw bale garden. As a matter of fact, one of the things you'll see in the book is I recommend to people, especially if your garden's in an area where it's near the street or your neighbors have to look at it all the time, is after you get your vegetables planted in the top of the bales, you can punch some little annual flowers right in the side of the bales and make a little pretty little flower skirt around the edges of your garden. It makes it look really nice. Also, what is a nice thing to do is use your straw bales to grow cut flowers that you're going to bring in the summer, especially summer bulbs. Most people don't like planting summer bulbs because you got to dig them up every fall and it's a real pain. But you can put dahlias and gladiolus and caladiums and other bulbs in your straw bale, and then when the flowers come up, you're going to cut the flowers and bring them in the house to make a display and let that bulb, let the vegetation from that bulb finish, and it'll replenish the bulb inside of the bale. Now, in the fall, you come along, you cut the strings, just like when you were digging potatoes, and you pick your dahlia bulbs and your gladiolus bulbs back up, split them apart because they'll have all duplicated or triplicated, split them apart and store those bulbs until the following spring, and then replant them in another straw bale. So it's a wonderful way to grow cut flowers, especially the summer bulb cut flowers, to be able to bring in the house. She asked about where to buy straw bales. You know, a good source online where a lot of farmers will advertise their straw bales is on Craigslist, believe it or not. It's a good place. You can just search for on Craigslist in your local area, and a lot of times you'll see ads on there. A lot of the nurseries and garden centers will carry bales, especially in the fall of the year. Sometimes it can be hard to find them in the spring. But if you ask around a little bit, you'd be surprised. Sometimes they'll be able to get them if you just let them know that you're looking. And they'll have a supplier, you know, a local farmer they can call and get the bales in. We also just started a new website, which is completely free for everybody to use. Both farmers can advertise bales and people can buy bales.
Oh,
cool. Hooked up together. It's called strawbalemarket.com. And we created it and we funded it and we run it. And it's completely free. Nobody has to pay anything. It's just a place where people can search by zip code and they can find suppliers or they can find customers if they happen to be a farmer within however many miles they're willing to drive from their home zip code. So it's a real helpful website for people from that standpoint. And I can't remember. What other question did she have? Do you remember, Larry?
I think that was it.
Okay. Hopefully we answered
I think
question.
I think we've got – maybe repeat the website again. And we'll put that up on my Facebook page, too. But
they can link to it from the Strawbell Gardens, which you have on your website or on your Facebook already, Strawbell Gardens. There's a big click on there. You can see jump to Strawbell Market, it's called.
Strawbell Market, okay.
Yeah, so strawbellmarket.com is the other one.
Joel Karsten, our guest today, author of Strawbell Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. I'm Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking gardening today, and we're talking straw bale gardens. How'd you like to plant your garden in some straw bales and avoid a whole lot of work? You can avoid a lot of weeding. You can avoid a lot of just general work. Through this method that Joel Karsten has developed and written about in his book, Straw Bale Gardens. Great to have him along. Thanks for listening in. And Joel, actually, you sort of mentioned in passing that you do some seminars, and we've had some people question, wondering when you have some events or seminars that are coming up that may be of interest to our listeners across Wisconsin.
If they jump to my website, strawbellgardens.com, and they'll click a link on there that says events, they can scroll down through and they can see there's several of them in Western Wisconsin. That are listed there, and they can, you know, they can click the link. They're not contacting me. They're contacting the venue. So it might be a school district or it might be a garden club or whatever is hosting that event, and they can find out more information about how to register and how to sign up and that kind of stuff for those events. So
very cool.
About 75 of them on the,
oh my goodness,
website. So I do a lot of speaking engagements and a lot of events. There's a lot of interest in this method. Real quickly, Larry, before we move forward with another caller, I just wanted to go back to Arlene. I know she had asked a question and I forgot to answer it. So if we could get to that. She asked about weeding her garden before she puts the bales down.
Oh, yes.
And you don't need to weed your garden. You need to mow it to make sure there's no, you know, big tall weeds, that kind of stuff. But just put your bales right down over top of the existing grass or weeds, and then the area between the rows, you can mow that during the summer if you want to. You don't have to dig it up. But if you're going to plant things that have vines, like squash and pumpkins and watermelon, then you need to cover that area with some kind of a weed barrier. You can use landscape fabric. You could use cardboard or newspaper, or, you know, you could use pretty much anything, but don't use plastic. Don't use like a black plastic tarp or black plastic sheet plastic, because if you don't use something permeable that water can go through, then you get accumulation of moisture, which causes algae growth and lots of raised humidity level in your garden. You don't want that. I use a thick layer of old wood chips, like that come from the people who cut limbs off of trees,
yeah.
Local arborists. So it's not fancy wood chips that I buy at the garden center. I just have them dump a truckload of the wood shredding chips that they when they're in my neighborhood, and I use 6 inches of those down between the rows of bales, and that does a great job of keeping the weeds down. But people come up with all kinds of things. My grandma used to use old carpeting in her garden to keep the weeds from growing. So, you know, whatever you come up with between those rows of bales will eliminate any weeding in between those rows, and we definitely want to take care of that issue if you're going to have vines, because, you know, these pumpkins are going to grow down on the ground in between your rows of bales, and now the grass would grow up in between those vines, and you'd have a big mess. So you have to put something down as a weed barrier.
Lori emailed and wonders about ways to prevent pests from destroying the straw bale, particularly rabbits.
Well, you know, I get this question a lot about, particularly about mice. It seems a lot of people are worried about mice in their straw bale garden as well as other things. But here's the thing about the straw bales. Once you wet them down, completely wet them down, you don't necessarily have to worry about any kind of rodents. Now, mice and things are not going to stick around when the roof of their hotel is leaking every morning when they wake up. So they don't like that environment where it's nice and wet, especially when there's no food source in terms of oats or wheat seeds left there. Those should be gone. Those should have been harvested. So there's really no food, no shelter. They're not going to stick around. Now, rabbits, I can't give you a warranty on rabbits. If you have a high rabbit population, I've seen them jump up on the side of a straw bale and munch down on the garden just like they do in a regular garden. You know, people will attempt fencing. They'll attempt spraying different things you can buy that smell like, you know, rotten eggs or whatever. I'll tell you a product that we found several years ago, Larry, that really seems to work in a garden, but you have to start using it really early in the season before you've planted anything. And these are these motion sensor sprinklers. Have you ever tried
those? Oh, yes, yes.
They have an infrared sensor in them. Now, the trick is if you plant your garden and everything's coming up and you've established that you have a buffet here in your garden, now it's going to be hard to prevent the deer and the rabbits and the raccoons and other things from coming to your garden because they know it's there. But if you start this sprinkler real early in the spring, it's got a sensor in it. Just like when you walk up to your neighbor's garage and boom, the light comes on and scares the dickens out of you. It's the same technology. This sprinkler sits there under pressure. You run a hose to it, so it's under pressure. And as soon as something walks in front of it, it turns on and sprays them, even if it's the middle of the night. And it is instinctually trains that animal, whatever it is, not to come in that particular area. And it really works. I mean, these things work very effectively. I don't own stock in the company that makes them, but I assure you they do work. We've used them for several years, and I use them on my tulips to keep rabbits away in my big tulip bed real early in the spring before those tulips start coming up. You just set it out there. You know, if your neighbor dog runs in front of it, he's going to get squirted. Your neighbor kids runs in front of it, they're going to get squirted. It keeps everything out of your garden. It does a good job.
Susan in Coon Valley, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been using straw bales for 2 years, and I reinforce them with wire because regular baler twine can easily rot and your bales falls apart. And then we also let that mulch down 1 year and use traditional soil and then go back to the straw bales. But here's my question pertaining to the straw bales. I get a lot of stems on the tomato with not a lot of flowers, and I'm wondering what it is that I'm doing wrong that this is happening in the straw bales.
If you get too much vegetation growth and not enough fruit growth, it's typically too much nitrogen in the environment. So I would just cut back a little bit on what the strength of nitrogen that you're using, whatever you're using to decompose it, or just tend to put a little bit less fertilizer on, a little bit less nitrogen. Because that's typically what tomatoes will do, is put on vegetative growth if there's too much nitrogen in that environment.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I would certainly agree with that. Thank you, Susan, for calling. Andy in Black Earth, hi.
Hi there. Two questions, I guess. I thought of one while I was listening here. First one was, can you plant seeds directly into the straw bale, or do you have to start with transplanted plants?
Absolutely, you can plant seeds directly, but you need to create a seed bed on the surface of that bale. Now, you know, if I were to put a carrot seed on top of a straw bale, if you know what the top looks like, one might be right at the top, one might be 4 inches down into that bale. So we create a seed bed, and we use a sterile planting mix, something that has no weeds in it. I tell people, if you go over and take a shovel of soil out of your garden and put on top of this straw bale, you just brought all the problems from your garden back to the straw bale, and we want to avoid
right.
that. So a bag of sterile potting mix or planting mix, or if you have a compost pile with some real good quality, what I call finished compost, something that's heated up and now has cooled down, that will work perfectly because it won't have any weed seeds, and most of the bad insects and problems will have dissipated out of that compost just because of the heating process. Use that to create a 2-inch layer or so, kind of pack it down with a little piece of wood or something, make a nice flat surface, and then we directly seed our peas and beans and carrots and whatnot in the surface of that bale. I always tell people to use a checkerboard pattern when you seed. Same spacing as a regular garden, but use a checkerboard pattern. So not rows individually, but checkerboard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And can you put that straw, instead of directly on the ground, can you build, like, I'm thinking for my parents who are older, can you raise, build like a 2-foot-high, 3-foot-high raised platform and just set the straw bale on top of that?
Sure. There wouldn't be any reason why you couldn't. They will. As the straw bale gets later in the season, especially if you have lots of moisture and it's on the ground, it'll tend to, the bottom of it decomposes a little bit faster than the top of the bale will. So they can get a little bit tippy or top heavy, and sometimes you'll have to put something up against them just to hold them upright, especially if you had loose bales when you started out. But in an environment where they're up off the ground, you're probably, all that drainage is going to come through the bale and out, so you'll probably have less problems with that tippiness of the bales. I would think that would be fine. A couple of pallets or something like that underneath might work well.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Another Heather in Monona asked that same question because she has some health issues that make it painful to bend. So she was wondering about stacking as well, so that was a good question.
My grandma Josephine always used to say, Larry, it's not getting down on the ground that's the hard part, it's getting back up.
Yeah.
Where the problem lies.
Yeah.
That's very true. This is a great way for people that have any kind of physical disability that they can't get down and get back up again, that makes it much easier.
Joel Karsten, our guest, author of Straw Bale Gardens, and Jane in Fitchburg has a question for you, Joel. Hi, Jane.
Hi. So I was wondering how close together you can plant things. Like with raised beds, you can put things pretty close together and get a lot more out of the surface area and be able to reach into everything. Is straw bale gardening like that?
Hi, Jane. Yes, exactly. You can certainly plant things more densely. We tend to recommend that you stick with the in-the-row spacing. That's recommended. But then by planting in a checkerboard pattern like that, you are getting quite a bit more density. So the same length of a row of a straw bale, maybe you'd only have 10 plants normally, where when you checkerboard pattern them, you have 30 plants in that same bale surface. So there's definitely ability to plant them thicker. You'll also see in the book we talk about how we recommend you build it's a little trellis system above the bales, and that involves a couple of fence posts at the end and then some wire stretch back and forth, and that really gives a place for your peas and beans to grab a hold of and climb up in the air, and along with your cucumbers and, other kinds of plants that will climb on a vine. Tomatoes is another good example. And so it gives you a lot more sort of leaf surface area when they climb that espalier wire above the bale to stretch out and gather more sunlight as well. You get pole beans that you plant in one bale that'll climb two bales to the left up the wire and two bales to the right up the wire. But one bale of straw last year produced 36 quarts of green beans off of one bale. So it's a highly productive way to garden, per amount of square foot. Now, keep in mind, we're telling people to plant the sides of the bales as well as the tops of the bales. So the sides of the bales you might have planted with herbs, because they clump up nice and they're easy to harvest, and they'll come right out the side and turn and grow straight up. So your surface area is not just the top of the bale, because you're going to be planting sometimes in the sides of the bales as well.
Very cool. Thank you, Jane, for calling. I appreciate your call. And boy, it's kind of like one of those chia pets that you see when you've got, some of the photos are pretty cool that you've got in your book. They're coming out of the sides and the tops and every place.
Yep, it's amazing. You get a cabbage to grow right out the side, and it'll turn upright, and you'll get a nice head of cabbage, but it's like it's hanging out of the side of a bale. and it keeps all the water from accumulating in those leaves of cabbage as well. So it is a great way to plant both the sides and the top.
Absolutely. And lots of great photos. in his in Joel's book, there are a lot of photos. One of the things I really like about the book is that the photos really show you how to do things and, you know, what things look like the way they're supposed to look when you actually are doing this. And pretty straightforward method for getting a lot of vegetables out of your garden without having to do a whole lot of weeding. Our guest today is Joel Karsten, author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer in Minnesota, and he is the author of Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere earlier and with no weeding. You know, gardening is a great activity. It's so much fun so many times, but sometimes the maintenance gets to be a real chore. We don't get as much out of the garden as we'd hoped to when we started. Larry Mueller here. Welcome to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Lucky for us, there are some really innovative garden techniques out there, gardening techniques that we can all take advantage of. Joel Karsten has one of those techniques. He's an author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer in Minnesota, and he's developed a unique gardening method that he details in his book. It's called Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. And Joel, thanks again for spending time with us.
Thank you, Larry, for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's fun, and there's so much interest from our listeners here on Garden Talk. So many people. John and Viola has been waiting a very long time to join in, so I want to give him a chance right now. John, thank you for calling.
Yeah, well, good morning, or afternoon, I guess, now. My question is, how much, is there a lot of water involved in this gardening this way? Because I have to haul my water.
I wouldn't say that straw bale gardening takes less water than a traditional garden. Unless you're on real sandy soil, then I would say it does take less water, but it certainly doesn't take any more water than a traditional garden. So I'd say it's probably about the same. Remember, what's really unique about straw in its physiology, if you look at the nature of straw, if you grab a chunk of straw, you'll see that the tubes, the stalks, are all these hollow little tubes. And what happens when water touches the end of a narrow tube like that, it gets sucked up inside of the tube, and then it's held inside of that tube. If you tipped it up on end, it won't run back out because of two principles of physics. They're called cohesion and adhesion. And if you look those up in your science book, it'll show you exactly how those work. But that's what makes straw work so well as animal bedding, as livestock bedding, is that it sucks up and holds that moisture inside of those little narrow tubes and allows it to be transported so it can be hauled out to the field. So when you use it in this environment, it sucks that water up inside of those tubes and tends to hold it inside there. Now, the little roots, of course, can get inside of those tubes and get at that water, but it won't run back out real easily. So it does work as sort of a really nice sponge to suck up and hold moisture inside of the bale.
And I only have one other quick question. And it would probably work quite well if I have a small greenhouse as well, is to start several bales in there along with my other plants. And you could really get a jump on the gardening, couldn't you, having them in the greenhouse?
Yeah, big time. You'll have ripe tomatoes a month before your neighbor's tomatoes.
Yeah.
If you did that, yeah, certainly.
All right.
Not only the air temperature in a greenhouse is going to keep it from freezing, but that, you remember, that bale's warming up inside. Don't underestimate how much of a difference that makes. Now, you'll see one chapter in the book is called The Straw Bale Greenhouse. And it's where we use a poly tent cover, just a piece of plastic, 2 mil thick poly, and we make a little tent using the posts at the end of the bales and then a wire that runs across. We make a little tent over top of the bale. So we actually are planting in that bale real early in the season, and we're using these, what I call the straw bale greenhouse, so these little poly covers over top of the bale. Now we wrap that plastic down around the sides and we tuck it under the strings that are on the sides of the bale, and that creates a little tent over top of that bale that holds lots of that heat that's emanating from the inside of the bale, holds that in place. So it makes anybody be able to have a greenhouse environment. You know, we don't have a heater that we plug in or a gas-powered heater. We've got the heater that is these bales, that is the bacteria inside of those bales.
Very cool.
Right, well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Listener Brandon from Decorah, Iowa, had a question that came up earlier, but I think it bears repeating, and that is what to do with the bales at the end of the season.
Brandon, at the end of the season, what I do with mine is I put them in a compost pile separate from my other normal kitchen scrap kind of compost pile. And I turn them a couple times over the winter, wet them down a little bit really good in the fall so that bacteria finishes all the compost process on those bales. And by the following spring, I tell people you have the most beautiful, if you could bag it, you could sell it to people. It's the most beautiful compost because there's very few, if any, weed seeds, very few, if any, insects or disease problems. And it breaks down and makes a particle size in this compost that works really well because it's well-drained, but yet it holds moisture. So I use it to fill all my window boxes and patio containers. I use it as a supplement for my annual beds where I can dig it into the existing soil, and it really enhances and enriches that soil, sort of loosens up the structure of that soil. So it's a beautiful soil amendment that you can use in your garden or to mulch around your perennials or your bushes or shrubs. It's very valuable stuff, so definitely don't put it in your trash bin and get rid of those old bales. You want to keep those and compost them. And if you don't have a use for them, if any of your neighbors are gardeners, invite them over and take a look at it, and they certainly would be willing to take it off your hands.
Oh, yes.
Stuff. Yeah.
Don, listener Don wondered if you can use round bales instead of the rectangular ones. That'd be a little harder.
Yeah, it would be more difficult. I have seen some people do it, and here's what they do. They take a chainsaw, and they cut them in half. Now, I don't want any liability when it comes to that, but apparently this works. I've never done it, but apparently it works. It clogs up your chainsaw a little bit, but it'll work. And you cut it in half so that you have two donut shapes that are now only about, 2 feet tall. So you got to get it where you want it first with your tractor and then cut it in half and flop them both down. And now that bale is going to be big and compacted, and you're probably going to get two seasons out of those bales because they're going to take a long time to really completely decompose. But it definitely is a technique. If you want to do a bunch of squash and things that they're going to climb down off of the edges of those bales and take off, that would be a good way to do those. And that's going to be a real nice raised height at that point. So you're going to be up, 24, 26 inches off the ground.
Yeah, that's nice. Joe in Monroe, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Larry, or good afternoon, I should say, and Joel. Cool show. Hey, I'm curious, could you get a little bit more specific about the makeup of the actual straw? You go online and you look for what's out there on Craigslist or whatever, like you mentioned, and you see oat straw, wheat straw, rye straw, things like that, different makeups, including, alfalfas and grass. I'm just curious what we should be looking for.
Ideally, what you want to find in what's probably going to be most prevalent is oat straw, and this is oats that, the oat seeds have been harvested, so we're just baling up the stems. We don't want any seeds in there. So oat straw is probably the best. Other than that, wheat straw works great, but, in your area in Wisconsin, there isn't probably a ton of wheat grown. You got to get out further west to get to the wheat fields. If you can find barley straw, that works really well. In other parts of the world, they're using rice straw. Rye straw, as rye decomposes, it tends to have obscure chemical in it that will prevent certain plants from thriving in the environment. So I don't highly recommend rye, but if that's all you have and you plant stuff in it and a couple crops tend not to grow in it, you're just going to have to stick with those that do grow. So rye straw is a possibility. If all else fails and you can't find straw bales, you can use bales of hay for this process. But you need to keep a couple things in mind. If you're using hay bales, especially if it's grass hay, is that hay bale is going to be filled with seeds. So as soon as you water and fertilize it, it's going to sprout little hair out the side of that bale, and you're going to have to do something with that hair. Now, I give you some recommendations in the book. You can use vinegar, which is a very good, very effective herbicide. And you just use your mop, you dunk your mop in, you squeeze the mop head off, and you just wipe that bale with white vinegar, and it'll do a good job of killing those little sprouts that come out. And it's very safe, and doesn't linger in the soil or in the straw bale. You can plant into it a couple days later. You'll just smell like a salad for a couple days on your straw bale. You can use a bale of alfalfa hay, but again, you're going to get some sprouts that come out, and it tends not to hold quite as much moisture because its physiology is different. It doesn't have those hollow tubes like we talked about. But the advantage of using hay is it tends to have more protein, and when protein decomposes, it makes ammonia and it makes nitrogen. So So you're going to get nitrogen from the natural source of this decomposing hay, more nitrogen. Oat straw, wheat straw, as it decomposes, it has a little bit of nitrogen in it, but not a lot as compared with hay, because it's not as high in protein. But so, you know, really you can use virtually anything. There's parts of the world now, with Facebook the way it is today, we have 21,000 followers on our Learn to Grow a Straw Bale Garden on Facebook, and they're all over the world. I mean, there's people from the desert in Dubai and Saudi Arabia to South Africa to New Zealand and South America.
Very cool.
All the way up into the Arctic Circle in Canada. So all over the world. And in different parts of the world, they have different things that they use. Essentially, if you take any shredded organic material and you compress it into the form of a bale and get it to start decomposing, it will work for this process. It just so happens that oat straw and wheat straw work better than anything. And that's what we have most access to.
Yeah.
Great part of the country.
So,
works well.
Okay. Right. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Thank you for calling. Barbara in Madison. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry and Joel. Interesting program. My question is, I just have small little gardens, some in containers, and I'm just asking, I kind of want to do it organic. If you use this bale, straw bale, have they had, like, pesticides and herbicides on them? I mean, would it be a basis of organic, or do you have to wait 3 years?
Yeah, thank you for your call, Barbara. I appreciate it. You will find sources of farmers that grow strictly organic small mm-hmm. grains, so organic mm-hmm. oats and wheat, and then thus their straw is going to be organic as well. So look around for buying organic straw. If you were forced into a corner and you had to buy regular old straw and you weren't sure, keep this in mind, that of all the farm crops that are grown, the small grains, oats and wheat, probably get the least amount of any chemical put on them, of all of them. And if they do use any kind of pesticide, it's a herbicide. So it's a weed killer, usually something that dissipates very quickly in the environment. It doesn't linger. We've tried to take samples out of straw bales that we know chemical was used on, and we've looked for any residue at all in the billions, and there's really nothing there. I mean, it because this microbial action heats these bales up, it decomposes that straw. It's no longer straw. It becomes, you know, phosphorus, potassium, nitrogen, molybdenum, zinc. It breaks it down into its essential elements again, which then are building blocks for the new roots of the new plant to absorb and rebuild that new plant. So it really breaks everything down, and there's so much leaching and water action that happens that really it's impossible to find any residue inside of these bales. But I do understand where you're coming from. And to be someone who puts a label on their produce and sells it as organic, you would need to use, I would assume, you would need to use organic straw to do that. So you'd need to find a source for that. Organic people tend to know other organic farmers, and you're going to find somebody that grows oats or wheat and get your connection and develop, you know, from there. Use organic straw, and then your stuff will be 100% organic.
Mm-hmm. This makes me feel better, even with the other that it, you know, breaks down and isn't so chemically infused with things. So that makes me feel better. So, okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you for your call, Barbara.
And Dennis in Seymour, hello.
Hello. This sounds fascinating to me. One green, would this be a good way to start, like raspberries?
Great way to plant raspberries. Keep in mind, though, that raspberries are going to come back year after year from
right.
that same root. So wherever you put this bale with the raspberry plants, mark that spot off. That's going to be your raspberry patch from that day forward. So you're not going to transplant these out of those bales. And about 3 years into the process, that bale will have sort of disintegrated, sunk down, and made a little mound of soil with the raspberry plants coming out the top. You don't need to do anything else, you know, or pile anything up around it or anything like that. Just kind of let it melt into the existing soil, and that raspberry patch will continue to come back from the same spot. It definitely is a good way to do it, however. In the old 5-7 years ago, I saw a guy who dug out some soil about half the depth of the straw bale, and then he put the bales down into this little trench that he had made. He wanted to hold in more moisture, and mm-hmm. it sure seemed like a lot of work to me. But then that's what he did. He used that to establish some patches of raspberries and other crops as well, some of the other berries as well, blackberries and other things, in these straw beds that he created, these sort of sunken beds. And within 2-3 years, you really couldn't tell where the straw bales were and where the soil was. But they established, there's not many weeds, holds moisture, and all these great advantages. So yeah, that's the way to do it.
There you go, Dennis.
One other thing with the loose straw bales, my wife and I, like, we use straw bales in the fall to decorate. And with a loose straw bale, I just take a ratchet strap, put it near the existing string, tighten it down, and then use a like a quarter-inch diameter nylon, and that holds up better than the other string.
Oh, yeah. That's a smart idea, Dennis. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, like one of those
straps.
Yeah, cinch straps, one of those little things you ratchet back and forth and tightens them up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they always say, I always tell people that straw bales are like Humpty Dumpty. Once they come apart, there's no putting them back together again. Especially if you get a really compressed bale. You know, if you're moving that bale around and all of a sudden a string comes off or a string breaks, boom, they just pop and they go everywhere. So restringing a bale, especially if you get bales that are, you know, kind of flimsy, kind of floppy, a ratchet strap around it like that, tighten it up really tight, and put a couple of new strings in. And the nylon strings, like you say, will certainly last longer. You want to be careful that you get those back out before you go into your compost bin, because, you know, nylon, of course, is not going to decompose. So get those strings back. But, yeah, it's a great idea. Thanks for the call, Dennis.
Yep, thanks, Dennis. And Jim in Cedarburg, hello to you.
Hey, good afternoon. Can your method be used in the classroom, and is there any kind of an instructional supplement that would go along with it for the teacher?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for the call. We do recommend using it in the classroom. It teaches so many sort of scientific topics. It talks, you know, you get to do vegetable gardening or growing vegetables. You get to do a whole seminar on composting, because part of this is composting. Vermiculture or worm decomposition, because these bales fill up with worms. There's also a segment you can do about mushrooms, because lots of mushrooms will grow on the outsides of this bale. It's just a natural thing that happens. You'll get mushrooms that bloom on the outside. And you can talk about mushrooms and how they don't really cause any problems in this process. They're just part of Mother Nature's way of decomposing organic material. And insects, of course. Your bales get filled with all kinds of insects, beetles and other kinds of bugs. So there's a whole bunch of lessons that can be learned. Now, I don't have a formal lesson plan that we've put out for this. The book has a lot of great information in it. You know, you could go chapter by chapter through the book and talk about each of these individual subjects. But Jim, maybe you should contact me and we could work together and put together a curricula that we could offer to schools for young kids. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, it would be a good idea. Although, I mean, as I look through your book, it's pretty straightforward. I think most teachers, a teacher who's interested in this would probably be able to develop something from his or, you know, using his or her own.
Sure. Yeah, we could break down some of the lingo, you know, make it a little simpler, whatever, for the kids. But depending on what age they are, you know, if it was an older kid, I'm sure they could read it and understand exactly what it says.
We got a Facebook question from Andrew in Madison, who's moving in the middle of July, wants to move his garden with him in mid-July. He says, I often use 5-gallon buckets for container gardens. Could I use the straw method in a container?
Raised beds, lots of times people will fill up their raised beds with straw bales. They let it grow in the bales, and then they cut the strings off and pack those down and put more bales in the top, so they fill their raised beds. As far as in a container that would be transportable, absolutely, you could do that. As a matter of fact, I had a young guy in one of my classes a few years ago that said, I'm going to be moving the 1st of June, and can I move my garden? And I said, I don't think that'll be a problem at all, the 1st of June, because your bales won't have decomposed so much that they'll fall apart. And he sent me pictures of his tomatoes, 18 inches or so out the top of that bale, the 1st of June, and he was loading those 4 bales onto a snowmobile trailer and moving them 2.5 miles to his house that he bought, unloading them. So he had literally moved his vegetable garden right in the middle of the season. So there's some flexibility for you there.
Oh, man, that's
certainly
great.
It could be done. Now, July 1st, we're getting a little later in the season, so you know, you might be a little more tricky, but you want to have something underneath, like a piece of wood or something that will be easy to get a dolly cart underneath to be able to pick it up and move it around. I did a big display at the Minnesota State Fair last summer, so in end of August. So I grew the bales in my backyard all year and picked that bale up and moved it to the fairgrounds and set up a display there. So it can be done. You know, if you plan ahead, it certainly could be done.
And Maureen wondered if you could use it for a low, the straw bales for a low spot in the garden that sometimes has standing water in June.
Sure. Yeah, as long as, you know, the water doesn't get as deep as the straw bale, because that would cause problems for the roots inside there. But if you just got 3-4 inches of water that accumulates around a bale, you'd be surprised those bales will wick that moisture right up into the bale. So it doesn't flood the roots, because the roots are probably above that 3-4 inch level in the bale, but it, you won't have to water that bale a whole lot either, because it'll wick that water right up inside there.
And Ray wondered in a Facebook question, if what about the micronutrients, vitamin C is maybe a possibility, but do they get it from the ground, the plants, or do they make them? He was wondering if you need to add any micronutrients.
Yeah, you really don't. There's one exception, but you really don't, because what we need to think about here is, where do micronutrients come from? Well, they come from decomposed organic material. I mean, they come from the soil, typically. And the soil, all soil, is made up of something that at one point was a living thing, a tree or an animal or whatever, that got decomposed by bacteria and created soil. What we're creating inside this bale is soil. It's decomposing this wheat or oats straw and making soil. So it's taking that wheat plant, which in order to make the wheat plant, it had to have all kinds of micronutrients in order to form that plant. So when it decomposes it, it puts all those micronutrients back into the environment around it. Now, the one exception is we've seen a little bit of blossom end rot on squash plants, and that comes from a lack of calcium. And you can solve that problem with a little powdered milk, right over top of where you plant the roots of that squash plant, or just to crumple up some eggshells and put on top right where you plant that squash, and that will supply any micronutrients. Just takes a very little. When we talk about micronutrients, we're talking about millionths, you know, very small amounts, volumes of particles. So it doesn't take very much at all. But he's right. Plants do take up to 21 micronutrients to grow most of our most common plants on planet Earth. So nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, we all know, because we buy that stuff in a bag and we apply it. But there's lots of other little micronutrients, and most of those come just from Mother Nature. As she decomposes that organic material, she supplies plenty of micronutrients. So it's never been an issue. You know, I get that question a lot. If I grow in a straw bale, will my vegetables taste the same? Will they have the same amount of nutrients? Absolutely.
Absolutely they will. And you know what? We're out of time, Joel. This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much, Larry. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been great. I want to say Joel Karsten. His last name is spelled K-A-R-S-T-E-N. Go to my Facebook page. You can find a link to his book. It's called Straw Bale Gardens, The Breakthrough Method for Growing Vegetables Anywhere, Earlier, and with No Weeding. Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network.